Welcome to the Don't Call Me Midlife podcast. I'm Nicole.
And I'm Alex. We're your coffee-addicted, wine-loving, Amazon-obsessed mom squad.
Think of us as your new besties, but with a podcast. And just like you, we're navigating the Google-defined chaos of midlife while wrangling a pack of boys.
But here's the twist. We're more than just moms and wives. We're on a mission to reclaim our identities beyond motherhood, and we're bringing you along for the wild ride.
Now, we don't pretend to have all the answers to life's mysteries, but we're so good at learning and laughing our way through them.
So whether you're sipping from your trusty Stanley, indulging in an oat milk latte from Starbucks, or raising a glass of Whispering Angel, get ready to hang with us.
Together, we'll keep it real, have some laughs, and remind you that this crazy journey called life is one adventure worth sharing.
Hello, my friend.
Hey, Alex.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm just getting over this cold, so, you know.
Well, that's
good.
No fun.
I'm good.
It's just, it's going around. I am so excited about this topic. We are going to talk about parenting teenagers in midlife.
Yes. Right?
I think we need a lot of those breaths, like a lot of breathing.
I'm like subconsciously taking deep breaths because I'm like, this is stressful. But I think just like our intro says, we are navigating and figuring things out. Like we do not have the answers to, this is not a podcast about advice. This is a podcast about you. We are in this with you, and this is what we're struggling with, and this is what our friends are saying. This is what other people in our, you know, online communities saying, our husbands. So let's just,
it's just opening the discussion. Right. And I know I have said, like, I've never, from doing this podcast, I personally love it because I think about so many more things a little bit deeper, and you and I are different thinkers in that way. And I think just opening these discussions of these fun topics, these harder topics, these real topics, right? And I think parenting teenagers is one that we've wanted to do for a while, but we didn't know exactly how to do it. So we still don't know what we're doing. We could probably do five podcasts on this, but we're just going to have a discussion today about funny things, serious things, things we've learned about parenting our teenagers, and we have a special guest at the end who's going to give us our unsolicited advice, I think.
Yeah. I have none to give, but I'm going to listen to his. I'm so excited.
It is a man. It is a young man. It is not, it's a male. It's a young man that's going to come on. So what's in your cup?
Okay. So I'm just keeping it simple because I'm trying to get rid of this cold. I literally have a cup of hot water and some lime in there. No, honey.
Lime?
Yeah.
Not lemon?
No, I think the lime is just a softer citrus. And so,
I like that.
So I'm just trying to like do all the healthy things because I got a ship to run. What about you?
We don't have time to be sick. I feel like for this episode, we actually should have made like a real cocktail. Because I think maybe we'll do part two and we will make a fun cocktail, or a mocktail or whatever. But today I just have my Stanley with some water and watermelon lemon tea, which I am currently is my favorite flavor. And I'm trying to drink that every day. I love it. It makes me drink water.
Will you
good
send
electrolytes,
me one?
So.
Just one little packet.
One little packet. I do have a box sitting on my counter for you, so I haven't wrapped it up yet. So
just send one. I might not like it. I'm so okay, you can send me whatever. It's your love language.
No, I got something for you as a thank you for meeting. I couldn't bring a thank you gift to you when I met you. I had to experience your life. No, you're going to laugh. I'm not going to tell you what it is. You are really going to laugh when you get this gift. So
I can't.
You didn't need many things. I had to think very long and hard about what to get you that you would laugh at. So
we went out for everyone listening, we went out to dinner. And I had a really bad headache and I drank on top of it. I had a margarita. So I felt really bad in the morning. And I came out, she was in the kitchen, like tidying up my kitchen. And she's like, go take a shower. I'll make your kids breakfast. And it was like catering style. I was telling my best friend, like, it was so beautifully laid out with like placemats and everybody had drinks and the sausages were like fanned out. I mean, it was incredible.
Doesn't she do that too? doesn't she do that? She makes dinner too.
She does, but I mean, I've, you know, like we're newly friends. It was just a beautiful, like, little thing to see because,
I love doing it. That was so fun. But you're like, oh, I don't know if one of my kids likes that. Like, I was like, it doesn't matter, actually. Yeah. I just went into her pantry and her freezer and found her food and just did it.
So. I just didn't want you to be offended because one doesn't like pancakes.
No. How does We're not offended with teenagers. Yeah. I mean, no. Yeah.
Like, my team. How do you not like pancakes?
I have one of my oldest doesn't like French toast, right? So my brother loves to make French toast when we visit him and doesn't understand how he doesn't like French toast. So I get the pancake thing. But one of the gifts has to do with that breakfast, actually, that I'm sending you. I'm so excited. Okay, let's talk about teenagers. Now, there's lots of breasts here, right? And I once had a friend tell me, you know, little kids, little problems, bigger kids, bigger problems. And I don't really think that hit me until this year, right? Again, my kids are fifth grade, eighth grade, ninth grade. And I don't, you know, none of my kids have big problems in that sense. It is just our discussions are more about life, more serious, more, you know, just sort of really shaping them a little bit more than, you know, nap time and sort of, you know, I think there's a lot, there's problem solving skills. There's just a lot. I know for me, I like to say, you know, I don't have any anxiety, but one of the things I do worry about are my children. I do lose a lot of sleep, not because they've done anything, but just, am I making good humans? Am I doing everything I can? Am I spending enough time? Am I feeding them the right foods? Am I present enough? You know? Mm-hmm. And so I think, I don't know if you have that worry or if other people can relate to sort of those worry thoughts.
1,000%. I'm going to speak on behalf of most of our listeners here that yes, I do believe that we all have similar worries and it's just across the board. Like, and it's, this generation is not like our generation. I don't know about you, Alex, but I think I raised myself and a lot of my friends, we raised ourselves. Like we were latchkey kids or we were like, we left the house and we came back when the lights came on or we knew what time dinner was or things like that. There was just a lot of independence and not a whole lot of parental guidance, at least in my circle.
I think it was a generational thing. And that's one of the things I know I worry about. Like, you know, my mom was like off with her friends. My dad was at work. It's not that they weren't parenting. It was a very different hands-off parenting.
Yeah.
You know, my mom often says, you tell your kids too much stuff. You talked about too much stuff with your husband. And, you know, that used to be like, well, what are you talking about? Am I doing something wrong? But I get it. It was generational. And that's what I often worry about. You know, we talk a lot about helicopter parents and am I parenting too much? Am I not parenting enough? And I often, this is a part of something I want to work on, is I often really compare myself to other parents. And I do that a lot. And I you know, I just want to know that we're all, I believe I'm hard on myself in that way. We're all doing the best we can, right? We are.
You're an amazing mom.
Showing up. Yeah. No, so are you. But yeah,
you are.
You know, it's just, it's hard. It's hard not to, with all the digital and social media and, you know, all the stuff out there. We just want you to know it's hard. Yeah. We get it. And if it's easy for you, then dig a little deeper. Because it's
to put
not.
It nicely. Yeah, no, it's not.
I know. I'll be kind. I'll be kind. But no.
I worry that I'm a rescue parent. Like,
what's that? What's a rescue parent?
Instead of a helicopter parent that's like hovering all the time and making choices, it's kind of like, oh, somebody upset you, your teacher, I'm just going to write a letter. You know, I'm not always taking my kid's side, but, you know, I don't want my kid to feel uncomfortable. Like, oh, you don't want to make that phone call? I'll make that phone call. You know, I've definitely gotten better, but just not making my kids feel a certain way, which I think would have definitely helped them feel, because now like I can see like some things in my kids, you know, some things make them feel anxious. And I'm like, why the hell do they feel anxious? You know? And I'm just like, because they weren't exposed, you know?
And right. I think one of the hardest things about being a parent to teenagers is having to be neutral, right? I am 100% not a neutral person in terms of I have big reactions. You can ask my husband that. You can ask my kids. And having all boys, you know, they think I'm like a crazy person. And I have lots of emotions. And but when your kids are coming to you, whether they were in the wrong, someone was in the wrong, they need advice, being just not having that emotional connection to it is I think really hard.
That is hard to just remain neutral while they tell you something. You mean like if it's,
yes, yes, 1,000%, even if mm-hmm. I want to scream, I want to cry, I want to yeah. hug them. Yeah. It's like really just being
shake
there.
Them. Like, what
yes,
are you doing?
Shake them, yeah. grab their arm, right. you know, send them to their room, but just trying to be that, you know, that just that neutral person that is going to be there for them. And a lot of times I don't react. And then I need to think about how I sort of want to follow up. I like to follow up a lot with my kids. If I also don't know what to say in that moment, you know, I let them talk and I'm like, okay, you know what? Let's revisit this later.
Yeah. I kind of talk to dad and get some like,
yeah. Yes. I always say I got to talk to dad. Yes. That is definitely my go-to if yeah, I don't know what to say. Let me like just talk to dad about it.
Yeah. Yeah. Why do you always have to talk to dad? Because we're a team, you know, I don't have the answer.
We are definitely a team.
It is really hard not to be reactive with my teens for sure. I mean, my oldest one definitely pushes my buttons the most right now. He's 14 and a half. Not to say that no one else does. It's just a different kind of button pushing. And then, so he gets me going and he's getting himself going and I'm trying to stay self-regulated and I can just say something, even if it's in the most calm voice, and he will explode. And he just recently started stomping off. And I'm just like, what is that? You know? And the old Nicole would want to like stomp in after him and keep it going. You don't talk to me that way. But, you know, they're not adults. They may look like adults, but their brains are still developing and they're still figuring things out. And so we had an instance last night that he was like questioning if his brother put away the dishes because that was his chore. And I said no, because my middle one was feeling very overwhelmed with school and upset about something. And so I'm like, you know what? I'm like, don't worry, I'll take care of the dishes. And then, and I've done that for my oldest too. And maybe that's what I mean by rescue parent. Like, let's try to teach you some better coping mechanisms. Okay, I digress. So anyway, I'm like, don't parent your brother. Don't worry about what other people are doing. You know, and he just was just like eating ice cream off a spoon. He threw the spoon in the sink and he stomped off. And I'm just like, what just happened?
I'm like, literally know what you're talking about. There's a lot of like, is it fair? Is it
yes.
fair?
Yeah.
If I can't go to a friend's house, can he go to a friend's house? If I have a friend sleepover, can I have a friend sleepover? Like, you know, it's so much, well, why do I have to feed the dogs? Can't they feed the dogs? You know? And it's a lot of comparison, which makes it really hard. And we, you know, we also have to parent, you know, we have the same morals and values, but each kid needs to be parent differently. And that's what I'm finding more yeah. and more, whether it's the school they go to, how mm-hmm. they are in academics, what things they do outside of school, how they are with their friends, what their style is, what they eat, you know, it's so many things that we're trying to, and it's not a catering to them, right? It's not like, you know, I'm not trying to do that. I'm just trying to connect with them and figure out the way where they connect best. I actually think, you know, when kids, and this is how I've sort of tried to flip the switch a little bit, because I have a child that will test every boundary. I lay the uh-huh. line and he will put his toe right there. And
and look you straight in the eye, right?
Yes. Yes. And have no qualms about it. No. And ask why? And I actually have learned that, you know, right now is when it's really challenging, but this is a safe spot. And I think that's the sign of a smart kid, because they're just trying to stretch themselves. They're trying to figure out what they can and can't do. Mm-hmm. So I'd honestly rather have that than the opposite.
Yeah. You recently
said, as frustrating as it is.
Yes.
What?
You recently said something to me, and it was just like a really big aha moment. I don't even remember what Eris was doing. Eris is not a teen, even though I feel like he is a teen, but you're like,
he acts like it. He's so sweet. Yeah.
You're like, get curious. Don't get, you know, like, not that you
don't
told
be
me
curious, don't. Get curious.
Yes. That was, I'm like, the word anger was coming to mind because that's probably how I was feeling, but yeah, don't get furious, get curious. And it's,
yeah,
I feel like that led to, opening up a whole new idea and mindset shift for me, because there's reasons why kids do what they do, and it's not just to be bad kids. So that
no,
was,
and that was, yeah, that was once I had it posted for a while at my desk, because that's what one therapist told me. You know, when kids, whether they're teens or they're still little, right, they're having a hard time with something. And if we're frustrated, they're probably frustrated and something else is going on. I mean, also think about, we joke about it, but there's a lot going on with their body, with their mind. Their frontal lobe is not, you know, is not fully grown.
Right. Maybe so it's all that cologne they're wearing. It's just like, oh my fogging God. Up the brain, right?
I think it's fogging my brain. Like, it's literally, John Mackey wants to buy some, and I'm like, honey, you're not even in puberty. Maybe you should start with deodorant.
Yeah. Get a fresh smelling deodorant that like,
but. All the kids wear it. I had 8 kids sleep over for Walker's birthday, and it was literally like, I think I was going to have, you know, it was like a major headache, because these kids, they don't do one little drop. Like I tell them, just do a little.
Yeah.
I mean, do the girls like it? Do they like it? Like, I don't understand what is going on.
Well, mine says I can't smell it on myself. I'm like, it's not for you to smell. Like, it's for other people. He put like 5 or 6 sprays on himself one day. And actually Jerry had to take him to school. He's like, I literally can't open my eyes because I have such a headache from driving him in a closed car for 25 minutes.
I mean, it does smell better than I have to say than like a Dracar Noir, right? I mean, it does.
It does.
Thankfully. It does. It's not like Axe body spray. But I think all these things, Walker was asking me to get these like flavored toothpaste that he wanted from like his smile. He wanted to get Dr. Squatch or whatever. I think your kids had it too, like the special deodorant. Like everything smells. And it's like, it's just a lot of scents for these kids.
Too much like Dr. Squatch.
There's too many competing
deodorant
sets.
With like your, yeah, it is. But yeah. I have stipulations with cologne. I don't know if you do.
What is it?
Okay. No, it can't smell. Yeah. It can't be like a nostalgic smell. Like maybe like the cologne, my first boyfriend wore. Like I can't.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
You know? Okay. So that, or something that their dad wears that I am attracted to. It can't be a scent that I'm attracted to.
They can't smell like really good. Like no. It has to be like from Hollister or something.
Yes. And two, like I'm prone to migraines. So I'm like, it can't give me like a headache. So.
Okay. So you've got the Nicole sniff test. Yes. I wonder if anyone else has that. I just, you know, John was like, you know, took some of the colognes the other day, and it was like, one was like a fresh scent, one was a woodsy scent. And I was sort of like, what do you
woodsy
like
at 11.
So it was woodsy, and it was, he chose the woodsy one. And I was sort of interested in what they like, what smells good to them. I mean, I don't know that, you know,
Jean
the other
Paul
thing.
Gaultier.
And they're expensive. They're not cheap. So my goodness.
Yeah.
They're so expensive. So good Christmas, good, you know, if you've
birthday.
Got high schoolers, you know, birthday, give some good cologne. Let's talk about one of the other things. I was going to say, there's not just two, that I'm curious about teenagers is the phenomenon of DoorDash, of Uber
Eats.
Oh
my gosh. I thought it was just my kid, but when I'm in the car line pickup, these kids are talking about DoorDash. And I'm like
what are they doing? Like, what?
They're ordering DoorDash to school. And there's like a table outside the office, and DoorDash just drops it, and they walk over there and they get it.
But like, the schools provide food.
Yes. Right now, our school provides it for free. Like, I'll give them extra to buy like an extra pizza slice or something. I'm just like, you don't need to buy Wendy's for $30. Like, Jerry and I don't even like do that. Like,
no.
Who are you?
I want to know how this started, right? Because I also tell my kids, I'm like, I have food at home, right? I have food, healthy food. That is sort of like, in my mind, a little treat, right? But it's become a regular thing, and I just don't understand it. There was a couple weeks ago when I was coming home, Walker was home, and all of a sudden this DoorDash guy comes and is delivering a big gulp.
Yeah,
a big gulp, Nicole.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, no, that's not for us. Thanks. And they're like, no, Walker, Walker, you just ordered a $10 big gulp. So I had to lay down the law a little bit after that. I was like, that is ridiculous. I am definitely not paying for that. I took my credit card off all the kids' DoorDash and Uber Eats. And if they want to buy something, it is their money, their gift cards. Like, that is it. It is. I provide lots of food for you to eat. And if you want something else, it's on you. Yeah. I mean,
Tasa had some money in his, on his debit card. And he, a couple nights, it was like on a Saturday night at like 11 o'clock at night. And I get alerts like when he orders things, cause he's got the green light. It's the green light.
Oh,
you know,
and I was like, wait, does DoorDash do that? Cause I need that.
to your own. I wouldn't get it if he ordered it, but I'm like, what did you order Dairy Queen? Like, he's like, I did. I had a craving. I'm like, oh, this has got to stop. And it's probably because all the Starbucks.
Maybe, like, that's what it is. I want to know how this started, because I made a rule for sleepovers and no ordering food after 11 o'clock. Right? Because I'm also asleep. I don't want some random stranger. And my kids are like, well, we just have them drop it off at the front door. But I'm also like, you don't need to be eating it, you know, midnight, 1 a.m. I have plenty of snacks. So now I get extra snacks, but it is a phenomenon.
I think,
right?
It's just, I mean, and maybe like they just feel independent ordering it. They're but still, yeah. Like, it's, you know,
it's, you know, I have to admit though, Nicole, there was one night when Alex was traveling and I was craving non-dairy ice cream, and I ordered it from Baskin Robbins and I had it delivered. And it was, John and I ordered sundaes, and it was pretty amazing. No, I've only done that once.
Yeah. That, I mean, that is pretty amazing. And you're a 46-year-old woman that can do that. But like,
right, but it was
order
so
big
ridiculous.
Gulps and like Chipotle and no. All these things every other day. You're just like, $200 later in 5 days, you're just like, okay. That's enough.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot. How do you feel about the kids like not talking, right? And what I mean by that is,
like, in the car?
I sort of learned in the car in the morning. I don't know about your boys, but, well, John Mackey's a talker, right? He's like a chatty Cathy in the morning, and so is my husband, but it's like 6:30 in the morning. So that may change, but my other two, I've learned to sort of respect their boundaries, and I've actually had talks with them about it. And they're like, "Mom, you're just talking too much." So then I get worried about, am I not talking? Am I not connecting with my kid? But I think I found with my boys, like, they just need that space in the morning. I barely talk when Baker's home or when before Walker goes to school. I have a routine of giving him breakfast, but I don't ask deep questions in the morning. I barely ask anything.
deep questions.
I just say good morning. Like, that is basically all I just let them talk. And I feel like the same thing happens for my kids in the afternoon. They go straight to their room, right? And they need like 10 minutes
to decompress.
And then they come down there and they're like, hey, what's for snack? What are you? I'm like, whoa, okay.
Yeah.
It's taken an adjustment. Do your boys do that?
Well, I am Walker. Like, don't talk to me in the morning. I'm just quiet. Well, I'm not quiet because I'm like a drill sergeant in the morning, but typically I'm not a big talker in the morning. Until I've had coffee. So I don't really come at my kids, But even if I'm like, hey, do you have your backpack? Do you have this? Do you have that? They're just like, Mom. So I just think they're all like kind of standoffish in the morning. But I do have a rule about not using your phone until we're at least in the car in the morning. So like, cause sometimes they'll just stand there and they'll be looking at their, I'm like, we have to leave. Like, get your stuff.
Where do you keep your kids' phones? Do you keep them in their rooms or do you keep them in your kitchen? I didn't notice when I was at your house.
Oh, no, they can have them in their rooms. I just have it like set. You'll be proud of me because this is a little techie. I have it set to where it goes off and they can't use it at a certain time at night. And then they can actually use it. I think I have it set at like 7 a.m. And that's usually when we're walking out the door.
Well, you know what another rule I learned from you, not a rule, something that you do that I think was so smart. I was just telling Alex about the other night is that you have two Wi-Fi networks, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
One, Jerry told me this when I was there. One is for the kids and one is for you guys. And I said, Alex, we have to do it like Nicole and Jerry. That is so smart.
Well, you can turn theirs off and still continue to use yours and it doesn't slow yours down.
How do you do that on the family share on Apple or what do you do?
Oh, this is beyond my comprehension. Oh, I'll have to like get the information text to you.
We'll have to. We don't have any advice on that.
Yeah. Sorry. I know he set up two Wi-Fis within the home somehow on your network.
Right.
And then when they go to like get on the Wi-Fi, so, but
how do you turn off their Wi-Fi? How do you do the restrictions?
The restrictions are through Apple, whatever it's called.
Okay. So the family share.
Yeah.
The family share. I do know how to do that. My little guy doesn't have a phone yet and he's asking. And the other day we went to Verizon and we looked at flip phones and he like literally didn't even know how to write the text. I was like, hi mom. I wrote it like in 2 seconds.
Oh, like you have to push like four, like three times to get the H or whatever it is. Yeah.
But we've done that. And so he was just like, I just think I'm good. I'm like, that's fine. At the middle school, they do have a phone that you can use. So that is totally fine. You know, one thing about the talking that I've learned is at this age with our kiddos is when they do want to talk, they want to talk.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah, you can't bring things up.
No.
At least not with my kids now. Yeah. Yeah.
What do you mean?
No, like if I know that, like, let's just say they had an issue with a friend or something and they talked to me about it, I can't like bring it up. It has to be on their terms. If it's something serious, like within the home or they did something, of course it's going to be on my terms. But if it's something that they came to me with, I can't, I just have to wait for them to bring it up. Right?
Oh, wait,
are you boys like that?
Yeah. No, but I'm saying like also when they actually do want to talk, like I literally drop everything and I'm like listening, right?
Yes.
In my neutral way. But I think because when they want to talk, they want to talk. And I know girls, you know, I think girls talk probably more frequently.
Yes. Yeah.
When I have girls in my car, I'm like, this is so fun. I'm like, let's chit chat.
Yeah.
But you know,
it's just also natural. Well, I don't know. I'm not raising girls, but it just seems like there's a way to weave it in. But boys, they'll immediately shut down. I don't know. I'm not raising teen girls. The teen girl moms are probably like, what? She doesn't know what she's talking about.
We're just using our experience, but I think there is probably for every kid, whether it's a boy or a girl, how to talk to your kid and sort of how to navigate that and how to figure that out. But I agree with you. It's like, we can't bring things up or they're going to immediately shut down. Mm-hmm. We need to wait, like almost an invitation. That stinks.
Yes. And it stinks, especially when you can see it, you know? I think in those situations, I just spend a little bit more time with them.
Mm-hmm.
And it usually somehow comes up, you know. That happened with me and Stabby last night. And he was just like, it's all over his face. He has no poker face. And so I was just casually bringing up school. And I think he's just really overwhelmed with school and he just needs a break.
Yeah.
So, and I think he's a little bit bored. So
yeah,
we're gonna tackle it.
It's allowing that space where there are times when I'm, you know, are my kids, you know, are something going on? And usually when it's a big thing, like you're saying, Wastavi, I think as parents, they know that we're there for them. I've had a couple situations, you know, cause Baker's in boarding school where he has called me and had to talk to me and just, you know, it's almost like they just need to vent too. And just, we need to, you know that we're there for them unconditionally, no matter what, because thinking of all the technology and like we said, all the stuff that's going on with them, we didn't have, like, they have a whole extra layer of stuff. Yes. That we didn't have to deal with. You know, my mom will often say to me, I am so glad I'm not a parent right now. It's just, it's going beyond, you know, normal teenage things angst. That they are being exposed to, angst and the anxiety and then COVID on top of that. So, you know, being a supportive parent looks different for every kid. And that's what I think we're all trying to navigate. And that's why I love this discussion of, well, what do you do for that? What do you do? Mm-hmm. You know, everyone's doing different things.
Yeah. I want some answers for screen time, because after COVID, like, I just feel like everything changed with my kids. And it's almost like that's their first go-to. I mean, it used to be like parks and friends and things like that. And now it's just, and that's what they're using to like decompress. And it's just so concerning. And even one of my sons was like, I think I'm on it too much. And I think, you know, I'm so glad that he's recognizing that in himself, because we have brought it up and we continually bring it up to all three of them. But one in particular, I think is more than the other. And he just recently was like, you know, he didn't really come out and say, I need help, but,
but that's a real thing.
He did, but
that's
he
a
did
real
it.
Thing.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Because they don't know any different, right? Because all this technology, they were on their phone. It's sort of their norm. And I think that kids just in general are lacking conversational skills, because often, you know, I will say, if you're going to text it, or they don't even text, they Snapchat. If you Snapchat with someone, you should be able to say it to their face.
Oh,
right?
Oh, you mean like if it's meme? Yeah.
No. I mean, well, yes. I mean, they're not doing
I mean,
things.
Maybe even like
anything.
Complimenting it. Like if you're a boy, complimenting a girl, like in an appropriate manner, like you would have
right,
to.
Right, right. Yes. In an appropriate manner. But I think just this lack of conversational skills, because their go-to is always their phone. I was just thinking, I was recently in the car with a bunch of boys and everyone, Nicole, was on their phone. And I was like, no. I was even playing like my mom music that normally they'd be like, what is that music? And no one said a word. And I think what I am going to institute, and I've been thinking about this, is sort of take their phones in the car, and so that they can have a conversation, so that they can look out the window, even for that little finite time.
Right.
I think
God, daydreaming.
Trying to go in this, trying to what?
No, I was going to say daydreaming is such a, like a part of.
Yeah.
I don't know, like growing and like developing.
Being bored. What about being bored? I tell my kids that all the time. I'm like, be bored. Be bored. Do something, you know? And I think one of the things, there's so many things talk about technology. I think we should get a technology expert on here. One of the things that I do like about technology and their phones with my boys is they will text me more often. And it is almost easier to connect with the teenagers a little bit, or send funny emojis, or, you know, all that, or send reels. You know, my oldest will send me recipe reels to make.
Mine too. It's so cute.
It's really cute. So yeah. I do think there is an advantage. It's just, again, finding the limits of what works for your child, for your family, or, you know.
Oh my gosh. We need a part two to this.
We need a part two.
And a three and a four.
Okay. Let's get our special guest and let's do our unsolicited advice. Okay.
Okay.
So Nicole, what time is it?
It's my favorite time. It is unsolicited advice time.
All right. It's unsolicited advice time. And today we have a really special guest. I'm like going to cry. I've got my almost 16-year-old son, Baker. He goes to boarding school and he's home for spring break. And so we thought it would be fun for this topic for him to give the unsolicited advice, not Nicole and I, because we've given lots of advice this episode. So we're gonna ask him his opinion. Say hi.
What's up?
So, Baker, we're gonna ask you two questions. One, what do you think moms, my friends, you know, midlife moms our age do well? And then what's the one piece of advice? What do you think we could do a little bit better?
I think one thing that you guys could probably do better is, I guess, well, with not just with my mom, I'm sure there's other people that feel this, but like when I come back from school and she's like all chattery and stuff and I'm just like trying to like sit there and listen to my music and just like be sort of, isolated or something.
Chill.
Like,
chill. You're trying to chill and relax.
Yeah. Decompress.
One thing that I know my mom does really well is plan things. Because I know whenever I'm like trying to do stuff with my friends, it would never like actually happen if my mom didn't help me with it. So yeah.
What do you like that we plan? What advice? Because there's lots of moms out there. What for teenagers? What are some of the fun things that you guys actually like to do? And when you mean plans, do you want to do it with the moms and dads, or do you want to just you like when they plan it for just you and your friends?
Well, me personally, I like it when you plan it for just me and my friends. But okay. I know you like to come to a lot of the stuff that I go to.
Is it okay that your parents are still there, or are you getting to the point where it's like a little awkward?
I mean, I feel like once I can drive, I feel like it'll be a little easier. But for right now, I feel like it's fine because she has to like take me everywhere and stuff. So, yeah.
Like when we go to a concert and I sit in the back.
Yeah, that was fun.
And read a book in the back.
So do you like it when moms, last question. I know I promised this would be short. Do you like it when moms are interested in the things that you're interested in? Or would you want to do things that they're interested in? Do you prefer for the parents to do things that you like to do?
Well, I mean, it depends. If they're like trying to like help you with everything that you're doing, it can be a little bit annoying.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like it's good to have the same interests as your kids. So it's like, if they're like talking about something with you, you are just like completely like oblivious and have no idea what they're talking about. So to some like degree, it's okay to like what your kid likes.
Okay.
So my boys like video games. And sometimes just spend time with him. Like, I'm never going to learn how to play Fortnite.
It's
like,
too hard.
It is. But I'll go in and sit on his bed. I won't necessarily talk to him because he's playing with friends. But just being around, like, is that annoying? Or
You can be honest.
I mean, and you can be honest. Sort of like after, because I don't know, some like when my mom will come in during like something that I'm doing, it feels like sort of, I don't know how to explain it, but it's just like
uncomfortable,
weird. Yeah. Especially when you're playing with your friends and your mom's just like sitting there, because it feels like you have to like, I don't know, sort of like filter yourself.
Oh, well, that's a good thing.
That's what I think.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Okay, so maybe that's not the time to be with your kid while they're playing a video game or with their friends and give them their space with their friends, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That was my burning question.
Okay.
Is it different when you're not playing with friends?
If you're just playing by yourself, I mean, I guess I don't really know. Like, if you're playing by yourself, it doesn't really matter as much, I feel like, if you just come in, but if you can like see that like something is like intense or something, I don't even know. Like, I don't know.
Yeah. Don't interrupt. I guess read the room, right? It wasn't that. Yeah.
Or just maybe like see and like observe and be like, oh, they're in this like situation right now. Maybe I'll come in like afterwards, like after that happens. But yeah, just like reading the room, okay. I guess, like what you said.
Okay. And well, I guess I have one more question. If you're upset we're filling in our 2 minutes. If you're upset about something and you're not ready to talk about it with your mom or your dad, does it bother you if your parents bring it up? Or do you think that's like or does it make it easier because you don't have to bring it up?
Well, I guess when I do something that I like regret or something, I feel like it's easier for someone else to say it, than just me. And I guess like most of the time though, when I like do something, I sort of want like my space, like that, just to like control myself. So it's not like, I don't know, out of control.
So have your space. But what if there was something that we know that happened at school with a friend and you could be upset about it? Is there a situation where, you know, it's good for us to bring it up or to give you your space?
I mean, it depends on the person. But for me, I feel like sometimes I'll want to talk to you about it. And then other times I might just be like, I don't really like want to talk to you. Like, it depends on the situation. If it's like a big deal, I feel like I might want to talk to you about it. But if it's like not that big of a deal, like every, like sometimes like I'll like come home and you'll be like, did something happen from school? Like last year I would like come home and be like, why are you not talking to me? Like, did something happen at school? Like, are you okay? And I'm like, yeah, I'm fine. Nothing happened.
I did that too, Baker.
I heard this advice once
because we love you.
This is a good idea, Baker. I think we're curious. There are certain situations, maybe the advice of, do you want me to listen or do you want me to give advice? Right. Is that sort of an okay thing to say? Sometimes I do that with your father. So maybe, you know, do you want to just, sometimes you just want to like talk about it with your parent and you're like, okay with it. Or sometimes you actually like do need advice.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like, since you guys like know a lot of stuff because you guys are like
older.
Mm-hmm.
Older.
Been there. There's some stuff that I like could get advice on, maybe like if I don't know anything about it, but yeah, I don't know, like I feel like most of the time I do need advice because
yeah,
I don't really, some of the stuff that mm-hmm. like happens, I don't really know like how to handle it, but yeah,
that's good. Yeah.
Well, good. That means your parents are doing a good job.
I don't think you feel safe as much at night worrying. All right. Yeah. We love you, B. Right. Thanks for being on.
Thank you, Baker. Yeah.
And ask us any questions. Maybe Baker can answer some questions to this podcast. We'll send it to him. But just spend time with your kids. They just want to be with you.
And that's a wrap for today's episode of Don't Call Me Midlife. We hope you had as much fun as we did.
Absolutely. Your support means the world to us. If you're just waiting in the carpool line, don't forget to follow the show. And if you're feeling extra spicy today, leave us a rating and review.
Before we part ways, we've got a special invitation for you. Join our newsletter to stay in the loop with all things midlife magic, bonus content, and more.
Head on over to the show notes for how to sign up. We can't wait to keep the conversation going.
And of course, remember, in the whirlwind of life and motherhood, don't forget to fill up your own cup first.
You're extraordinary, and your journey is worth every moment.
Until next time,
cheers.